Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. This program was pre-recorded a fortnight ago at Cafe Venezia on 1391 Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn in the Midwood section. Our guests are the director and founder of the Center for Kosher Culinary Arts, Jesse Blonder, and the Institute's Dean, Chef Avram Weissman. Since we were having an early dinner at an Italian restaurant, naturally our conversation revolved around the Italian cuisine.
One of the topics I'd like to cover this evening is the challenge of cooking true Italian on a kosher cuisine. And by challenges, I mean how to make the taste authentic. What do we do when we have a dish that calls for both meat and dairy ingredients? Chef Weissman, please fill us in.
We really like to approach this challenge from the standpoint of dividing the country of Italy into north and south. Southern Italian cuisine is a little bit easier to copy, mimic, or imitate when it comes to kashrut. Northern Italian cuisine is a little more complicated because of the intense use of meats and cheeses on the same plate. To start with Southern cuisine, which is most easily recognized by the heavy use of tomato-based sauces, a lot of fish, especially in the Sicily area, there are some items that just can never be substituted, challenge or not challenge. In Northern cuisine, when we're looking for substitutes for pancetta or prosciutto, yeah, there are some substitutes. We can use smoked beef. We can use smoked veal. There's lamb bacon being made these days. We know that there's duck prosciutto in the kosher world these days. But you really can't substitute ounce for ounce, pound for pound. So there are a lot of northern and southern Italian dishes which cannot be duplicated in the kosher world. There are some alternatives we do use. We use Mimi cream, which is a nut-based product. Instead of cream sauces, we're able to make veloutes, which are very similar to cream sauces in nature. Certain items we can substitute, certain of them we can't. I'd say Italian cuisine is one of the harder ones to really duplicate in the kosher world and remain authentic.
Do you have any comments, Jesse?
I think, as with everything else, in terms of substitution, in terms of authenticity, things are getting a bit easier. Like, for example, I know for the past few years now you've been able to get kosher Parmesan cheese, authentic Parmesan Reggiano cheese. It's very expensive, which is an obstacle, but you can get it now.
You can also get a very good Argentinian. You can also get a very good Argentinian, the Reggianito, which is excellent.
Over a year.
Yes, and tastes very, very similar.
Absolutely,
that's right. So things have come a way, but I think Italian cuisine often relies on specific products that are regionally based and that often color the cuisine because of how important they are to that type of cuisine. So sometimes it's a hard thing to get around, but things have gotten better. And there are products now that you can get, that you can substitute with, and that just previously weren't available.
Well, the Italian cuisine is obviously much more than just pasta and pomodori, tomatoes. How does the Center for Kosher Culinary Arts cover it, both in their professional courses as well as in their individual courses?
At CKCA, we have an advantage. We know how many students will be attending our classes, and we know what the subject matter is. So we can really plan and select the best of Italy and the best recipes that will be appropriate for substituting. There's really no way to substitute Italian dishes that call for pork and cheese or meat and cheese. And you can use a parve type cheese, or you can substitute various meats, and you can make a really tasty dish. But as far as copying an authentic Italian trafe item, many times it can't be done. So the way we handle it is our school is a technique-driven institution. We are not, we don't focus as much on recipes as being important. Anyone who has a computer these days, which is most of planet Earth, could really Google, which is a new term in our lifetime, you can Google any recipe and get probably 20 to 30,000 free recipes online. There's Epicurios, there's Gourmet, there's Food and Cooks and so on and so forth, and there are recipes available in every language on our planet by the thousands, free of charge. So recipes aren't necessarily what we focus on. Yes, they're important to make sure that we turn out a balanced menu, to make sure that we have a class that accomplishes our educational objectives. And that's how we base all our classes. What is our educational objective with each class? What does the student need to learn in order to accomplish our goal, to understand and to totally synthesize this knowledge, and to be able not only to follow a recipe, but be able to write your own recipe or create your own dishes. Not always possible with a lot of authentic Italian dishes, but we try. And some of the things we can do, some of the things we can't do.
As I wrote in my blog today, friend of mine, a chef of a very well-known restaurant in Manhattan, told me that when he first got out of the CIA, when he first graduated, he used to pride himself in making a pasta dish using at least 30 ingredients. Of course, it would take him half a day, but hey, it was a work of art. Till he realized that would never work in a restaurant, that will never work in an institution. Maybe at home when he's got nothing else to do. Question is, how does somebody take some of the classic recipes of yesteryear when they did have a plethora of ingredients? How does somebody make a recipe that is somewhat similar to that taste without using anywhere near as many recipes and using stuff that is absolutely fresh, which wasn't always the case in the past?
I'm going to start by saying that more is not always better. Having more ingredients in a recipe, as in, I'd say the best example, the best mushroom for that would be a Mexican mole sauce, which can very well easily be done in the kosher world. Mole sauce can sometimes have as many as 100 ingredients in it, but the blend of all the flavors and chocolates and herbs and spices and broths and seasonings comes together in such a way that it tastes like very few ingredients. Some recipes require a lot of ingredients, but that does not make them a great dish. Some of the best food and most tastiest dishes on planet Earth, especially in Asia, are very simplistic in nature, and they're successful because they achieve a balance of their few ingredients. Italian cuisine is certainly more intricate than most of the Orient's cuisine, in my opinion, and many of the dishes can be done extremely well in the kosher world, especially in the kosher dairy world. Kosher meat dishes and kosher fish dishes can also be done very well. There are obviously great challenges when trying to substitute meat and cheese items together. Not impossible, but certainly not in the spirit of kosher cooking. And certain things just can't be done well. Others can be done amazingly well.
So let me try to understand this. Is it possible then to have a successful Italian kosher restaurant? And by successful, I don't mean just from a financial point of view, but serving true Italian cuisine.
I would say yes. I think half the battle is selection and expectation. If someone's going to come in and think they're going to magically get some kind of substitute for a chicken parmesan sandwich or a chicken parmesan or something along those lines, no, it's not going to happen. But if you select dishes which are quote-unquote authentic from a specific region that use you can't dispute that it's an authentic Italian dish, and it's just inherently kosher. I think that's half the battle is selecting something that can be done, right? I mean, there's just certain things that are just never going to happen, but certain things are very likely. And if you just if you focus on what can be done, then you half the battle is won before you start cooking. And you know what a lot of people have come to think of as authentic, quote unquote authentic Italian cuisine is really Italian American cuisine, and that's something that if you showed it to an Italian, they'd say, "What the hell is this?" So I think,
as a matter of fact, what we call pizza in this country, most Italians in Italy have no idea what that is.
That's correct.
It doesn't look at all like Italian pizza.
Right. I think that. As long as, I think if a lot of quote-unquote authentic cuisines rely on fresh ingredients that are local to where that place is, and if you're able to replicate that, then people are going to be happy. And if the food is good, if it tastes good, if it's served in a professional setting, and service is good, then people are going to be happy. And I think that's what people should focus on rather than trying to exactly imitate something which they think is authentic, which probably isn't even authentic to begin with. So that's what I think.
What would you say are some of the basic ingredients that make up the Italian cuisine from a kosher point of view?
I think the basic ingredients that make up kosher Italian cuisine are the same ingredients that make up any great cuisine, whether it's Italian or Asian or French and Indian or any type of cuisine on planet Earth. We're starting with quality meats. We're starting with fresh fish. We're starting with fresh vegetables. Now, right here in the New York area and also in the West Coast, California area, we have a very ample supply of gorgeous vegetables, gorgeous fruits, and a lot of exotics. When we're dealing with Italy, there's a lot more than basil and garlic and oregano. And the availability these days of fresh artichokes, cardoons, white truffles, black truffles, homemade pastas, herbs, edible flowers, could set up a great kitchen for any creative chef of any cuisine. We're living in a time of global availabilities of products from all over the world that are constantly being flown in or transported. Any street in Brooklyn, one could find radicchio or Belgium endive, etc. What we really we're focusing on a great deal at the school is renewable, local, and what's the word I'm looking for in fish? Sustainable. Sustainable foods are just the opposite of flying radicchio from Italy or France. However, the potential is there. We have so many local farms upstate New York. Those of us who are kosher in the LA and California area have some of the most gorgeous produce being grown locally. We also have great cheeses. We have great dairy products available. The amount of kosher proteins available has varied so much in the last 10 years. Everything from dried beef jerky to duck prosciutto to fantastic quality lamb, superb quality Midwestern grain-fed beef. So it's kind of as much of a challenge it is to substitute for pork or cheeses or meats and cheese combination. There's a great plethora of quality raw products that any chef could be extremely creative and execute a sophisticated quality southern or northern Italian menu, as well as almost any other international menu in the world these days because of the growth of the kosher industry, because of the availability of all the new products. Just 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago at Kosher Fest, I tasted a very good beef sausage that came from South Africa. Okay. And there are so many products that are coming on the market every day. When I was young, a noodle on Passover was totally taboo. Yet these days, there's probably 20 different size, shapes, and styles of Passover noodles. So what was trafe yesterday, or taboo, or just plain unavailable yesterday, is not only available today, but reasonably priced and available. So the kosher industry and the kosher world is showing more and more sophistication with their ability to serve not only good food, but sophisticated, high class, well thought out, nutritious, tasty, and beautiful looking plates of any cuisine.
Now, aside from the professional course, which we're going to get into in a few minutes, you also have courses that are made for the average housewife or just even the guy who likes to cook.
Right.
Now,
Chaim, what is an average housewife? I have to stop you there. I've never met an average housewife yet. Not in New York.
I'm a South American. There are plenty of those.
Okay.
Okay, how does somebody who just wants to cook in a little bit more sophisticated manner than Mama taught her, or Papa, if you like to cook every once in a while, you know, what resources are available at the school? What courses do you have coming up in the immediate future?
Well, actually, we actually happen to have a class coming up on Italian cuisine. It's a week-long workshop, and it's being taught by an Italian. It's a lady, her name is Sylvia Macari, and she's traveling from Florence. She's coming to the United States to teach a class on Italian cuisine. So we do this annually. Actually, this is the second time we're offering this class, and we try to have guest instructors, guest lecturers on specific types of cuisine from time to time, which is a real treat. Because these are people who, if you're talking about authentic, these are people who are very familiar with this type of cuisine because this is what they do professionally. Besides from that, we always offer a steady roster of classes that focus on either specific techniques, which we define as fundamental, or specific types of cuisine. So some of the ones we do regularly are knife skills, which any chef would tell you is the most important part of being a professional chef is knowing how to use a knife. We offer that as a standalone course. We offer a course on steak, which is always a big winner, very popular. We teach people how to, we demonstrate how to butcher steaks from a huge piece of meat, how to cook steak, what to look for when you're buying meat, that kind of thing. That's always popular. We do a very wide array of baking and pastry courses. This semester we did a course on chocolate, making chocolate candies and truffles. We did a class on cupcakes. We did a class on plated desserts. We have a week-long workshop coming up on artisan bread baking, making the kinds of bread that you can't find in kosher bakeries. It's just not there. So we always try to do a few new things and a few things which have been proven number one, to sell, because that's important. We want people, we want to be able to offer the course, and we want people to, we want to have a threshold of people that are interested in it. And then we offer things to spice it up. We're always trying to push it. The people who work at CKCA, we have a very wide spectrum of expertise between Chef Wiseman and our pastry chef, Chef Camerley, and some of the instructors who teach with us on a more limited basis. There's many things that we could do, and we're always trying to put that out there to see if people are interested in learning about it. So we've done classes on Mexican cuisine. Chef Wiseman is actually teaching a class on Mexican cuisine tomorrow. And the week after, we have a class on the cuisine of Asia. I think it's a stereotype, but I think it's true that a lot of Jewish people do like what Chinese food, the cuisine, a lot of different types of Asian cuisine.
Chinese restaurants would be out of business.
Without you, right, exactly. So we put those out there, and they usually sell well. And then we push the envelope. We'll try to do a class on some very specific types of Sephardi cuisine or the cuisine of India. And we see how it goes. We hope that there are people out there who are interested in that level of specificity. And sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, but we're always trying to push it. And hopefully one day people will catch up and they'll want to explore these different types of cuisine, different techniques, different specialties. So that's what we have to offer. Education is fun, and we try to make it fun. People come to us for many different reasons, to learn, for a fun night out, because they just got married and they don't know how to cook and they have to learn how to cook for their spouse, husband or wife, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to offer classes for all those different types of people,
even
whoever they may be. Exactly.
Okay, that's very interesting about courses for individuals. Now, let's talk a little bit about your professional courses, the pastry arts and the culinary arts. Explain something about the cost, something about the curriculum. What can somebody who finished the course expect once the course is over? Do you do job placement and so on?
So we have two professional level training programs at the moment. One is in culinary arts, the other is in baking and pastry art. And they are each 152 hours long. They're short-term intensive programs. And our goal is the same as the goal of any professional level training program in culinary arts. We want to train the student to operate at a level of proficiency so that when they finish, they're able to go into the profession and begin at an entry level. Now, we have a lot of students who come to us with experience, professional experience or extensive home experience, and our goal for them is to bring them to the next level, whatever that may be. A big part of what we offer, besides the education, is our job placement services, the fact that we're plugged into a community of the kosher food business. What we can offer students beyond what non-kosher schools can offer, besides from the fact that they get to taste the food, is that we spend a lot of our resources, a lot of our time courting employers, showing them that there's a kosher school, that there are people who are within the community that have an interest and a passion and a desire and a will to work in the business, and that it's in their best interest to consider hiring them. We set students up on short-term externships, so that they have the opportunity to experience a professional kitchen in a non-threatening way, so that they get their first taste of the business in a way that will encourage them to move along. And then we help them to find employment, whether it's in a restaurant or for a caterer or at an institution like an assisted living home or a nursing home or a yeshiva kitchen. Basically, wherever people need to eat, there's a need for food and there's a need for kosher food. And we train people so that they can get jobs in any of those fields, whatever is the best fit for them.
Wiseman, can you tell us a little bit about the curriculum in both professional courses?
Our curriculum at CKCA is very technique-driven, not recipe-driven. And what that means is each class Both classes on our professional program contain 38 days. These 38 days were selected very carefully. It's a very comprehensive course. Most culinary courses worldwide generally run in the neighborhood of a year and a half to 2 years, whether it's trimesters or bimesters or regular semesters. And what we're doing here is we're trying to really condense our classes and take about a year and a half or 2 year course and slam it into 14 weeks. It's not exactly possible to do, but what we do is extremely comprehensive and try to give our students the most bang for their buck, to try to give them the most education. And the way we go about it is making sure that learning is fun, so that the students retain the knowledge. We also have in our program, we have a four stand approach to knowledge. One with is certain people we realize learn differently, and some people could read and learn. Some people have to be hands-on to learn. Some people could learn by watching a movie or by watching a tape, and some people need repetition. So we have textbooks, we have lecture, we have hands-on, we have repetition, we have quizzes, and we approach the subject matter and our educational objective every day from four different approaches based on the fact that all people learn in different ways. And the 38-day course that's given in professional pastry is also 38 days and is extremely comprehensive. And again, it's similar in nature to the culinary class, being that it is the highlight topics, the strongest topics that are selected from non-kosher culinary schools and condensed into a 13, 14 week period, of course, depending on the Jewish calendar.
So if I heard you right, what you're saying is that because the classes are small and because there is a different learning style for each individual, so basically you're saying that with classes that small, you can almost give individual attention to each one of the students.
Well, yes, Chaim. The fact that we cut enrollment off after 12 students. 12 is our maximum. Okay, I lied. I took 13 one semester. But generally, we take 12 students, and that gives us the ability, number one, to make sure each student has the proper product that they need to execute the topic that we're working on, as well as each student has a place at the stove and the ovens, and each student has the proper cutlery and machinery that they need, whether it be a food processor or a hand one or a tortilla press or rolling pins. 12 is our cutoff point. And with that number, we find we can give very individualized attention. We can really draw on people's creativity and be able to jump in and help those students that seem to need a little more attention. We cannot jam the same amount of education that one gets in a two-year class into a 13-week class, but we really focus on giving our students the techniques that they need to go out in the field and learn. When one goes to yeshiva, one doesn't necessarily graduate knowing the entire shas, reading every blot or daf or gemara or mishnah, but what gets out of yeshiva is how to learn, so that after yeshiva one can go attack the entire shas and comprehend it.
Okay, and with about a minute and a half remaining, why don't you tell us, how do I get in touch with the school, where's the address, and how do I find you online?
Well, we have a new website launching. It'll have the same address as our old website, which is kosherculinaryarts.com. We are located in Brooklyn, New York, which seems to be the center of the Jewish world. We have students who come to us from all over the world, and everyone seems to have a friend or a relative or somebody that they can stay with here. And so hopefully the listeners out there will also have someone they can stay with so they can take classes with us. We're at 1407 Coney Island Avenue, that is between Avenue J and Avenue K, upstairs from Happy Home Housewares, right across the street from The Buzz, which has a huge sign, you can't miss it. We're in Brooklyn, New York, which I mentioned already. Our phone number is 718-758-1339. You could even email us at info@kosherculinaryarts.com. kosherculinaryarts.com.
And Swayad, do you have any do you have any final words for our audience?
Go check them out.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
This has been very, very informative.
Thanks, Chaim.
Thank you, one and all. And please don't forget to tune us in again next week. Once again, we'll have interesting guests, interesting, informative, and fun program.
And coming to you live from Cabo next week.
Good night, one and all. Thank you for listening.